You were assistant county attorney in 1960.
Exactly.
You then moved on from that position.
Well, I was an assistant county attorney, and then, of course, we took the bar. Then I'm a full-time lawyer as an assistant county attorney. I was in the general area, meaning I tried cases and filed cases, investigated a little bit, but in those days I was primarily trying cases and stayed with Bob Sims. I think I was there with him about 2 years. And there was a death on the district bench in Tulsa. I think it was Eben Taylor had passed away, if my memory serves me correctly. Either retired or passed away, but Bob Sims was named to replace him. So he went to the bench as a district judge. Well, it's still a county office. And David Hall was an assistant county attorney in that same office where I was. And he was appointed to be county attorney by the county commissioners. It was their appointment under the county attorney system. When a vacancy would occur, it would be up to them. I think he ran after that for a term of 2 years. I stayed on. I ultimately became chief prosecutor. In theory, I was supervising other people, but I still was trying a lot of cases. I stayed in that position, and then in 1966, there was a change in the law relating to county attorneys. The county attorney office was not going to be anymore and was made a state office with a four-year term. They took the 77 counties in Oklahoma and divided them up into 27 districts so that you had some districts with four or five counties. Tulsa County was a one-county district because of our population. So I ran in 1966 for that position. David Hall, in the meantime, was running for governor and was defeated in that race. I then became district attorney in 1967, January.
Who did you run against?
John Tanner was one of them, and John Harlan was the other. Both those men were in that same office working with me. John Tanner was a lawyer back at the time with Bob Sims, and then with David Hall, he was in the civil division because there's civil responsibility to represent county officials, things like that, by the county attorney. John Harlan was in the same type of work I was doing. He wasn't chief prosecutor, but he was another prosecutor trying cases. So I ran against those two persons in the primary race. John Harlan came in third, so we had to have a runoff between me and John Tanner, so we went through another election. John Harlan supported me in that effort, so then I defeated John Tanner in the primary runoff election. Then I had an opponent who was a Republican named Douglas Bishop. He had been county attorney over in Logan County, Guthrie is my recall. I won that one, so then I became the first district attorney of Tulsa County.
So why did you win? Were there issues?
I was so brilliant. People just loved me, John. No, the issues, I think, there were several. I made an issue out of a career, and let me tell you what I mean by that. With all due respect to David Hall, to Howard Edmonds, and to any previous person, but particularly those two, not Bob Sims. Bob Sims was not politically ambitious. He was a journeyman prosecutor. He was a journeyman judge. He was not saying, hey, I'm running for public office. He never did, that I'm aware of. But Howard Edmondson before him, you know, used the county attorney's office as a springboard to the governorship. The Prairie Fire was his campaign speech. David Hall used the county attorney's office as a springboard to his ambitions to be governor and was ultimately successful. Dixie Gilmer in the past had also done the same thing. He ran out of the county attorney's office in Tulsa for governor. So the issue that I pounded on without trying to be critical, I said, I'll treat it like a career. Crime is becoming such that we no longer can just use it as a stopping off place for people who have other ambitions. So if I take that job, if I get hired by the voters of Tulsa County, I will treat it as a career, not as a stepping stone. So that was one issue. Not that John Tanner or John Harlan were going to do anything other than that, too. I don't recall if they took any position on it. That was one issue. The other issue was I think I pushed very hard in my ads and things about my success in prosecutions. Our literature that we put out would have such things as some examples of some of the cases I'd tried, sentences that we received, things like that. I had the backing of a lot of lawyers who would sign letters for me and so on. I think that one side issue that sort of came into this, Tommy Frazier, bless his heart, he's passed away now, but Tommy had a lot of battles with Howard Edmondson politically. I think Tommy was running for county attorney when Howard Edmondson was and things like that. Tommy was a decorated veteran Marine from the Second World War, and he was confined to a wheelchair because of a wound that he had received. He was identified in the press as sort of the political kingpin boss of Tulsa County. I believe John Tanner was backed by Tommy, and so I used that, you know, here we are, we're going to run this as a full-time business, and I'm not associated with any political machine. Matter of fact, one of my granddaughters was at the house, and I ran across this little audio tape. that was a copy of our song to run for office. Now, let me tell you how this came back. John Tanner had gone to Nashville, and they hired an orchestra and all, and they had a beautiful, beautiful ad that was done to the tune of the Double Eagle. Big orchestra, and it's all for John Tanner. You'd hear people playing it on their radio driving down the street, you know, as a candidate. I'm thinking, oh, gosh, you know, it sounded good. So Perry Ward was in charge of my campaign. One day, my secretary says, Mr. Fallis, Mr. Ward's here to see you. I said, oh, him come in. I thought he was going to be there to get a check to buy another ad or something. And here it was his son. His name was John, and he had a guitar. Mr. Fallis, he said, I think I got something for you here. I said, you got something for me? He said, yeah. He said, listen to this, to the tune of When Johnny Comes Marching Home. He'd put these words to it, and he's drumming his guitar and singing it. I said, that sounds pretty good. Well, we used that. It was Goliath versus the, the mouse here. Our one guitar, local guy singing made-up words to a known song in a production out of Nashville. I guess that helped too, maybe.
And you still have that?
I have that recording.
Let's listen to it.
There's just one caveat to that. I want everybody who hears it to understand that everything they say in there that may be flattering to me is absolutely true.
March along to victory behind our man. He'll lead the fight for you and me, the man who can. Experience, integrity, character, and unity. S.M. Fallis, Fallis is the man. So cast your vote election day beside his name. He's not the kind of man to play another's game. He's marching on the side of right. He'll fight for justice day and night. S.M. Fallis, Fallis is the man.
Ultimately, you served until 1981, so how many campaigns were you involved in?
Well, that's another interesting thing. You get to talking about it and you get to remembering. The first time I ran for the election, but the second time up, I was unopposed. Remember, I had a primary runoff in general, and I didn't have any money. I mean, I guess I committed the political sin. I borrowed money to run for that office. Well, luckily, I won. So I win, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, in 4 years, here we go again, you know, or 3 years to get ready for that campaign. In 3 years, nobody ran against me. And it was unheard of in Tulsa County. There's always a heavy competition for the prosecutor's job, the county attorney, now district attorney. People say, oh, buddy, people love you. You're doing great. Modesty would force me to say, oh, well, I hope so, you know. And anyway, 4 years go by, unopposed again. Wow. Maybe there's truth to what these people are saying, that they really do like me. They want to call me draconian and bad, but maybe people do like me. So third time, I'm unopposed. And I never forget, there used to be a Sipes store there near 31st and Memorial called The Farm. And a beautiful store. It's Western Clothing now, I think. A man named Jim was the manager. Nice guy. And I knew him because we shopped there. We lived pretty close to that. And I never forget that morning when it came out in the paper that I again was unopposed. Jim put it in perspective that I had never thought about before, because now I'm thinking, I'm really great, you know. I'm down there buying something. He yells at me across the store, and he'd say, hey, buddy, how's it feel to have a job nobody wants? And I thought, uh-oh, that reality. I was like, okay, that's what's going on here.
And that's probably true.
Oh, I think so. You know, in retrospect, if you believe in what you're doing, I don't care what kind of job it is, it's a tough job, if you believe in it, because that means you're going to try to do your best.
You were high profile, too, all those years, so you had a lot of public attention in newspaper and television. Probably you just seemed like a formidable foe.
Well, I think that's probably part. And, you know, let's face it, it's a hard decision to make because of the cost of doing it and so on like that. And it takes a lot out of you. If you're married, got family, it's really tough.
So did you finish off your term in office without
being opposed? I resigned during that last term in 81.
Your first election was the only one,
yeah.
And the rest of you were unopposed.
That's something? Right. There's a reporter for the Tulsa Tribune, I never forget, after I was elected that first time. I'm reading the paper, and he's got an article. Nolan Bullock was his name. He was something else. He'd come to the courthouse now and then. He was in the end of his career at that point. But he wrote an article about me being a new political power. And I thought, gosh, I've been trying to say no, that's not what we're reading. He was always nice to me, though.